And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Anderson.
Hey, Dee Anderson. I'm Laura Mangone. So refreshing to hear your real name.
My real name.
Woohoo! Cat's out of the bag now.
I've put to bed Dee Dee McGrail because it's not necessary anymore.
Exactly. Unless you start pissing off somebody else and you have to hide from them.
Well, no. Luckily, now I have. Now I'm not a chef anymore. Well, I am. Thankfully, my chef lost her job, turned into a nanny. Mm-hmm. But then my clients decided to give me some extra hours to do some cooking. So now I'm learning a lot about vegan cooking, which I have. You know, we are going to talk about food probably at least by the second segment.
Yes.
We're going to talk politics, but I do have a couple more vegan triumphs in terms of food that I want to talk about. But
love to hear triumphs.
What about the attempted coup, man?
It's just unspeakable. It's just completely unspeakable. I don't even want to call them supporters because they are domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
I've seen, as we just were talking a little bit off air, I've seen reports of people saying they were anti-Trumpers disguised as Trumpers. Yeah, 30,000 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were really Antifa,
yeah,
disguising themselves. And there are people that believe that. That's what's the most...
It's so discouraging, isn't it?
Discouraging and scary thing.
Yeah.
Is that people, and we both know people,
yeah,
no names mentioned.
Yep.
But we both know people with platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thousands and thousands of followers,
yep,
who are spreading this.
Yeah. And it's very sad.
Believe it.
Yep.
And QAnon and all of this stuff. Like I guess we can sigh a breath of relief on the 20th, but we can't really. You know,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Security.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens on the 20th. Number one, if we get that far, I mean, as of today, multiple Republican and Democratic leaders are coming out and saying, you know, he needs to go. They want to enforce the 25th Amendment. If that doesn't work, no, they want to impeach.
Okay, but you know,
his own chief of staff, Kelly, literally an hour ago came out and said, you know, this is, he needs to go.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
But what I learned on the way home today from work, and I think it's worth mentioning that when I went to work yesterday and I arrived at 8:30 in the morning, and my clients are also very liberal, so mm-hmm, I get to, you know, share my joy in that department. And I said, hey, what about Georgia? You know, I was kicking up my heels.
Yep.
At 3:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped Rachel from, she had just finished a meeting. I said, do you see what's going on? I hadn't even seen the video, but Dawn told me. And she said, no, what? And then she went on a call, mm-hmm, in front of me. She was in the kitchen and it was with her UK team.
Right.
And I hear all these British voices going, so Rachel, what on earth is going on over there?
Yeah, exactly.
You poor thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Just, I really don't have words. It's just unbelievable. It's very sad.
I've had different forms of anxiety in my life, especially over the past few years, but watching the news, when I finally got, now I got home from work, I purposely did not look
at
the
on
news because I didn't want to see the video.
Right.
Because I had to teach a Zumba class. And I thought, I will be too upset.
Right.
So, and I actually texted the girls, the regular girls who were going to take the class, and I said, let me know that you're definitely going to take it because right now I'm like at my end. And of course all three of them said yes, we want it. And
right,
part of the reason was they wanted to escape,
right,
you know, what was happening. They wanted to shake it off, you know. So
yeah,
I decided to teach the class and I was crying. I'm not going to say half of the class. I was crying toward the end, and I ended the class at about 45 minutes, and I just said, you guys, I didn't record it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you guys, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I'm crying. And now I actually have to go watch that video.
Yeah.
I went up and started to watch the news and the video. started to have the type of anxiety attack that's not one of those crazy ones where you can't breathe and you know, right, you feel like you're gonna die. Mm-hmm. But I was having a hard time getting a deep breath. Yeah, and my fear was, I thought, if this can happen at this level, who's to say it won't happen locally? That all of a sudden we won't see our, you know, it's already happened locally with what the governor of, was it Michigan who was threatened?
Yeah. Yeah.
If this starts to happen
absolutely
locally more,
yeah,
I'm getting a gun.
Well, that's, I don't think that's the answer, but.
It's not the answer,
but. But Mario and I drove up to Blairstown today to go to my cousin's, and it's, you know, up by Route 80. It's in a very rural area of New Jersey where it is definite Trump country. And I have never seen so many Trump banners out waving. Like, even prior to the election, I didn't see this many.
Right.
It's a little scary. It is a little scary.
It's very scary.
So we've got to get to food at some point. We still have quite a bit of time, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 13 days. It's going
to... Well, apparently, just to sort of talk about for a second about 25th Amendment, you know, I was hearing on the way home, because I don't think I really understood what 25th Amendment meant.
Right.
And basically what I heard on NPR, which is for me a trusted news source.
Yes.
That there was a professor of law at some university that was saying that the 25th Amendment does not necessarily remove Trump from the White House, but it removes his powers to the vice president.
Right.
And
exactly.
The only ones that can make that happen is the vice president himself or the cabinet.
Right.
So if they don't decide to do that, which I doubt they will, then, you know, Pelosi and everybody else is saying we're going to impeach. And at this point, it's a moot point because there's 12 days left. So why go through any of this unless it's for the record?
I think it is just for the record. I think it is because, you know, he cannot be trusted at this point. I mean, he incited this whole thing. This whole thing yesterday started with a rally where he said, let's march down right to the Capitol and show them that we are not taking this lying down. Meaning, we're not listening to the votes that were just cast by the American people. We're interrupting democracy. It was very disturbing on so many levels.
The disrespectful
nature of the whole thing.
The most disturbing part of his, you know, when he did his taped address.
Yes.
And he was saying, oh, we've, you know, they stole the election from us and they did this and they did that.
But we love you.
You need to back, we love you.
We love you. You're good people.
Those three words, we love, or four words, we love you, but.
Yeah.
We love you, but.
Really?
What on earth?
Yeah, it's.
And when he was telling them to back down, you know who I thought about?
Who?
Willy Wonka. When Willy Wonka, remember when the little bratty girl who turns into a giant blueberry?
Yeah.
And she's blowing up and he goes, who's the star?
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder goes, stop, please, stop. Stop. He doesn't give a shit. That's how I felt about Trump when he was like, please back down, please stop. You know, it's like, it was And of course, when you're trying to, and one of the points of this professor was making today that, you know, with things like sedition and things like this, he can easily escape culpability based on just the tone of his voice.
Yeah.
Or just omitting certain words.
Yeah.
We all know it's like,
Well, taking something out of context, or you
like,
know,
he compared it to like a Julius Caesar kind of thing, where everyone knows what you're saying,
right?
But you're pretending like it's something else, and so he can get away with everything he wants to. It's a very sad
it's situation. Horrifying.
So do we get to food, or what do we do? we got 6 minutes, so.
Let's start on food.
Well, let our listeners know, because I don't think they know that you, a couple of weeks ago.
No, it's fine. So for 58 years, I've been basically beating the shit out of my body. I have terrible arthritis. I have had 3 knee surgeries in the past, mostly because of injuries and beating the shit out of my body. So on December 18th, I had a total hip replacement, which is not really your grandmother's surgery anymore. Although,
And you know what, Laura, you're actually the third person I know who in their 50s had hip replacements.
Yeah, it's so very common. Apparently,
it's very common.
It's apparently the go-to surgery these days for 50-year-olds.
And don't you think that back in the day, like, you know, and when I say back in the day, like maybe 20, 30 years ago, that people in their 50s probably just didn't get offered that option because it was just too invasive and it
probably was absolutely. Yeah. I actually had a conversation with a friend of my sister's yesterday, and she said that her son had the worst knee injury and in his 30s and was refused repeatedly from having a knee replacement because everybody kept saying, you're too young to do it. You're going to have to do it again at some point. But he was in agony.
Right.
And finally, he went to a surgeon who said, I don't know how you're walking around on this. This is like horrible. This is like car accident horrible.
Right.
So he, So anyway, I had my hip replaced. So my mom
doing much cooking? Have you been doing much cooking after your
hip replaced? Actually. And tomorrow I've got like 8 different things I'm making tomorrow. Because of this new procedure, it's called an anterior approach. They do it from the front of your leg, not the back. They don't cut any muscles. And I'm now 2 weeks and 4 days since the surgery. I was walking since day one. I am walking, you know, without a cane, without a walker. I'm walking freely. I'm doing exercises. And in about 2 weeks, I should be literally back to normal. But my hip feels freaking awesome. I mean, it feels great. My hip hasn't felt this good in, you know, decades.
Really?
So, yeah. So if anybody's, you know, living with pain from arthritis or hip pain or knee pain, just go have it checked out because technology is amazing. The procedures that they do now are just phenomenal. I have a little 4-inch incision, like on the front of my hip area. Won't barely show out of my bathing suit.
And I can imagine there's probably still doctors that are really not recommending it. So you...
No. They recommend this because it's lasts for, you know, many, many years. It's not like the old hip surgery where they had to redo it in 20 years.
Right.
Like this will, I will die with this. Like
cool.
It will last 30, 40 years.
I'm so happy you'll die with that.
I will die with my titanium RoboCop hip. So yeah, I'm officially bionic. And I highly recommend it. Seriously, if anybody has, you're living with joint pain, I'm going to say just what every other person, you know, my mom had her 2 knees done. She had a hip done. And the one thing that all of her doctors had said to her is every patient says, why did I wait so long to do this? And I feel exactly the same way. Why did I wait so long? I was in such pain.
And why do you think that is? And I think I'm going through the same thing. I don't think I'm going to need a hip replacement. I think I'm going to need some kind of surgery. I think you, because the pain, it creeps up on you so slowly that you just sort of start.
You build up a resistance to it, and you just feel like it's
the way you are.
Especially women, I think we just get on with what we got. You know, we just do what we got to do, and we just deal with it. And at the end of the day, yes, we're achy and tired, and we hurt. But you know what? We get on with it. And so, yes, I'm kind of happy that I did it. I mean, I'm extremely happy I did it, but glad I did it at this time of the year. Glad I did it. It pushed me to get all my Christmas stuff done ahead of time. I recuperated, you know, the worst part of it was over, you know, Christmas. So, yeah. Oh, Happy New Year, by the way.
I know. I haven't talked to you. We haven't had a show in 2 weeks. So
I know.
It's been a while.
We were on our Christmas break.
Hiatus.
So we have a minute left. And when we come back, I would love to hear about what you have in your crock pot, which sounds delicious.
I have in my crock pot, a slow cooked calamari.
I know. I can't wait to hear about it.
With chorizo.
Yeah. I'm very excited to hear about it.
And so, yeah. And so I have to, and we have other things to talk about with the stuff that you're making and also sunchokes. I wanted to talk about sunchokes for a bit.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we come back.
So I have a whole list of things I'm getting in the morning. Mario and I are going to the grocery store early because I have some cooking to do for Uncle Joe. And I think I may be putting calamari and chorizo on my list. Maybe I'll throw it in my crock pot some more.
Oh, yeah. It totally works. It's great. Yeah.
All right. So we will be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Hi, we're back.
We're back. Sorry.
We're back.
Missed the cue.
That's all right.
So in my slow cooker as we speak.
Yes.
I realized it wasn't over the holiday. It was just before when I was sitting with my client, my nanny clients, and they have the wife. Her mom comes over with her husband on occasion to help out with the 2-year-old. And so Poppy told me that he made some kind of slow-cooked calamari. And I was like, well, you know, I'm really ashamed of myself because I slow cook octopus. Yeah. I've done that maybe a handful of times in my life. Uh-huh. But I love having fried calamari.
Right,
but
right.
I get that at a restaurant. So I haven't had it in like a year.
Right.
And, or I make it in the squid and conch salad.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those versions are very, you know, quick cook.
Right.
So with calamari, you either quick cook it, like less than a minute,
or you cook it a long time. Right.
So I had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So how did Poppy do it? Did he Poppy tell you what he was doing?
Poppy did it with red wine. A lot of the recipes will tell you with red wine. I actually did it one time before the holiday, and that was with... I decided to try to make it with like a clam sauce,
okay.
Except to make it with squid.
Okay.
And so I kind of slow cooked it and just in a pan on top of the stove.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized why they all did red wine, and that is because of the color. The color of the sauce comes out like shiitake.
Yeah.
If you try to do a white sauce, it looks gray because of all the purple, you know, ink that seeps into it.
Yep.
So it was good, but you know,
also the vinegar or red wine breaks it down. It breaks down the cartilage in the squid.
So Poppy did it with just red wine.
Uh-huh.
Like pure red wine and a couple of other ingredients. He slow cooks it and it was very good. We had it on Christmas Day.
Oh nice.
But I decided to try it in the crock pot.
Uh-huh.
I'm now a fan of the crock pot.
Right. So what did you put in there?
So I took chorizo, which it was the raw version. So mm-hmm. I browned it. I was actually going to take out all the fat, but because I wasn't putting any other fat in the recipe, I decided to keep the fat. It wasn't tons. And
right.
It had so much flavor.
Flavor.
So browned the ground chorizo,
mm-hmm.
put it in the crock pot with, now this is where I think you're going to relate to this.
Okay.
Every 10 years or so.
Yes.
I decide to buy squid that has not been cleaned.
Yep. I always buy it uncleaned.
You do?
Yeah. You know why? You know, when you slip out that cartilage.
Yeah.
I love that. I love cleaning it. I do.
Okay. I'm going to admit.
It's from being a fisherman, though, because I used to clean it, you know, when we would use it as bait. I just like it. I like cleaning it.
Okay. So I'm going to admit something that I haven't admitted to anyone.
Okay.
When I
you have to have a true confession segment.
True confessions.
This is our true chef confession segment.
The best way to take out the cartilage, as in like the whatever it is, the spine or whatever it is,
it's plastic, cartilage. Yeah.
Plasticky piece that you pull out that's like
yes.
pencil. I use my teeth.
Well, that's not necessary.
Well, no, but Laura, it's very hard to
but usually you hold on to it, you push it back into your hands so that you're holding the meat and then it comes out really easily.
Well, I use my teeth.
Okay. All righty.
At 5:30 this morning.
All righty.
And cutting off the eyeballs and then peeling back the blackish skin. And
I love cleaning
half an hour into it, I'm like, I wanted to save $5, really? So it took me forever. So I threw I browned the chorizo.
Uh-huh.
Put that in the crock pot.
Yeah.
Some onion.
Yep.
And some garlic.
Yep.
And then the cut up squid.
Okay.
And I put it on for 4 hours.
Tentacles included, I'm assuming.
Of course.
I know. Just checking.
And I got home a little, you know, maybe an hour or so ago, and it's so tender that it cuts like butter.
So wait, time out. Did you say tomato product of any sort?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Crushed tomatoes.
Okay. Cool.
Crushed tomatoes. I would have, some of the recipes called for, you know, olives and anchovies and all this stuff. And I actually ran out of time. So it was just the
squid, onions, and the sauce.
And onions and the garlic and the tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Cool.
And it's delicious.
That's
and
awesome.
Literally, I took out one of the tentacles. Squid really shrinks, especially.
Totally shrinks, yep.
When you know, so I bought like two, you know, a big box of squid. It's like nothing now. But you can cut it, you know, with a fork.
Love it. I so might be tender. Buying squid and chorizo in the morning.
Yeah.
Cool.
Man.
Now are you going to serve it? I know you wouldn't do it over pasta. I would probably put it over pasta.
I'm going to see if I actually don't know if I have any pasta in the house. If I do have some pasta. I'll probably cook it for Dawn with some pasta.
Right.
And I'll have like a little cup of it with red pepper and I'll eat it. But
yum.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's great. Yummy. Sounds fab.
So you're going to be cooking?
I'm cooking some stuff for Uncle Joe. My sister just called me a little while ago. She was there with him today, and I was just going over the inventory in his freezer. And I have an inventory of stuff in my freezer here, but there are a couple of things that I need to make tomorrow that I know I don't have in the freezer. Most of the fish dishes that I make for him, one is a salmon with a dill sauce. One is a cod with a livernaise sauce, which is tomato, capers, olives. I'm also going to make two different types of tortellini. I've talked about this before. I make with my grandmother's pesto, which is like a parsley based creamy pesto. I'll also make tortellini with the bolognese sauce, which the bolognese has beef and pork and veal and a little bit of half and half splashed at the end. So I'm going to do the two fish, the two tortellini, probably pasta fagioli. Gosh, that man loves his, he eats pasta fagioli like twice a week. Literally. I mean, when I bring everything, I double up on the pasta fagioli. He loves it. So I've got to make a batch.
How old is Uncle Joe?
He's going to be 98 in March.
98, and he's still eating everything.
Everything.
Like, he just loves it. A lot
he
of people
loves
by
everything.
By that time in their life, they have an aversion to food almost. You know, it's so great.
Not
that
him.
He's like,
and I would like to think that I will never be that way. I don't think I will either. I mean, he eats everything. He loves everything. Once in a while, we get a pizza. He told me last week, I guess he saw a commercial for Nathan's or some hot dog commercial. He's like, I used to really like hot dogs. So I'm thinking when I go on Saturday, maybe I'm going to bring hot dogs and rolls and sauerkraut. Well, make him
a little
hot dogs for lunch on Saturday.
He'll love it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I've got a little bit of just those, I think. Pasta fagioli, the two tortellinis, the cod, the salmon. And I'm going to have to make a lasagna because I know my stock, you know, my inventory in my freezer out in the garage is running low. So I'll have to make a batch of lasagna at some point. So, I mean, I make such a big pan. I literally get like 24 portions out of it. And when I bring food to him, basically there's like 12 or 13 different types of food that I bring. So I just bring like, you know, three or four of each. You know, so he's got a monster, you know, he's got like 50 different items in his freezer.
Does he realize how lucky he is?
Absolutely, he does. He mentions it all the time. All the time. Yep. Yeah, he does. He said, oh, I'm so lucky. Your food is keeping me alive, he says. So, yeah. So I've got that little bit of cooking to do tomorrow. Not too much. It'll be quick. Just, you know, mostly just sauces and some pasta. Yeah, so that's really it. I haven't really been doing too much cooking. Christmas.
Well, you just had your hip replaced.
Yeah, no, I haven't been doing, I mean, I've been cooking. I've just not been doing, you know, the usual lot of cooking that I generally would do. Even for the holidays, I didn't really do too much. I had a lot of prep done. Annie's girls came down for the holiday, for Christmas. And I had a lot of prep stuff done because I know they wanted to make cookies. They wanted to make gingerbread houses. So I had gotten quite a bit of stuff done ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They all cooked dinner, Mario and Kelly and her husband and Molly. They all, got together and we had a lovely Christmas dinner. I know I've told you in the past, I generally, my family has always had the Christmas ravioli that we make with the beef and the spinach. Yeah. And I was a little bit sad because I wasn't going to have it this year because I wasn't going to make it. And Mario, for my birthday, my Christmas present, Christmas morning, gave me a little box and I opened it up and it was a little teeny container of marinara and a little container of Parmesan and a little container with two little ravioli in it. And he said, I made you a batch of ravioli. So Christmas night we had ravs.
Aww.
And it was my grandmother's, Christmas ravs. So that was a beautiful surprise.
Nice.
I did do the annual Christmas baking. I made my grandmother's sweet bread, which my sister had made for years and years. It's a yeast bread. It literally from start to finish takes about 7 hours to do. Actually, I think I spoke about it our last show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the one traditional sort of Christmas thing I did. And everything else was sort of, because of the surgery, I had everything done ahead of time. I had decorating, I had giving out gifts, blah, blah, blah. So it was very mellow holiday, and I have not been doing all that much cooking. So tomorrow I'll get my cooking on.
Get your groove back.
Yep, get my groove back, do some stuff for Uncle Joe, and then we'll probably end up eating, one of the things that I'll be making for him for dinner. But I definitely am going to look into getting some squid and chorizo. I mean, I love throwing stuff in the crock pot. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done it with squid before, and now it's proven to me that, wow, low and slow.
And how you said it was low for how long? 6 hours?
I did four.
Four
was plenty.
Okay.
Yeah, four was plenty. I wonder what it would have been like at three. A lot of the recipes, I wasn't exactly looking at crock pot recipes. I was looking at like slow cook recipes.
Right.
That would take like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I thought, well, it's a crock pot, so I might want to do four.
Extend, right.
And, it's great. I would definitely do it again.
I'm definitely going to get the stuff tomorrow when I'm shopping. And since Saturday, I'll probably be going into the city. I'll throw it in my crock pot before we leave.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you wanted to talk about sunchokes, right? Did you mention sunchokes?
Yeah, so sunchokes. I am 55 and a half years old.
Yes.
And I've been into food my whole life. And I've
never,
only recently cooked a sunchoke.
I've cooked them. I've eaten them. I kind of think they're boring. They're kind of like potatoes. I mean, it's like a root. It's not like, I think they're kind of cool because it's the root part of like the sunflowers. So like where they come from is neat. And they look like when you see them in the farmer's market or whatever, it looks like a big basket of ginger.
It looks like ginger.
Takes you a while to figure out what the hell it is.
But I like
them and they're just, I've roasted them. You have to wash them really well because usually they're filthy. Like worse than potatoes, sliced, a little oil, salt, peppers, herbs, and roasted. I've had them that way. I've had them. That's the first time I ever had, that technique where you roast small potatoes and then you smash them and then you cook them a little bit more. That was the first time I ever had that technique was with sunchokes.
Okay.
Like smashed like that. Yeah, they're yummy.
But I think they're interesting because they also don't have, even though they're a root vegetable, they're not high in carbohydrates.
Yeah, they're not. And they're, I think, super high in like iron, like there's a bunch of minerals.
Calcium. There's a bunch of, So I have never made them. I put them in different things. I also like that you, according to the things that I read, that you don't really have to peel them.
Like you don't. Ginger, you just have to scrub them really good.
You can scrub them, but you don't have to peel them, which is good because they're very knobby. And, you know, if you had to peel them, it would be arduous. But I haven't done it this way, but to slice them and roast them, I thought would be really fun. And then to get the quantity that you want. And I don't know about you, but when I go to the grocery store, I don't see an abundance of sunchokes ever.
I have only seen them at farmers markets. I don't think I've ever seen them at a grocery store. I mean, maybe where, you know, maybe a select, like, you know, Whole Earth or I'm sorry, Whole Foods or Wegmans, you know, they may have them. I don't shop there though. So, but right. I've definitely seen them at farmers markets. I know the farmers market in Hopewell had them. I know the farmers market in Stockton always has them. You know, that mushroom man, he always has them.
Right.
Stockton.
So we have to go to break, but when we come back, I also had a couple of triumphs with my vegan chef pursuits that I wanted to share.
We'll talk about it when we come back. Be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
And we are back.
We're back.
Yep.
So I wanted to talk about some of my vegan accomplishments.
Yes, please do.
So, and this will be boring to people who are not vegan, but if you're vegan.
I'm not vegan, and I never think it's boring. I mean, I will never be a vegan, but I think it's interesting. Just the combinations and the, you know, it's interesting.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget, and I told my client, I actually referred to you in the story when we did our show at Sprig and Vine.
Right.
And it's a great vegan restaurant. And so we were all sitting there. I think it was you, me, and Rob, or maybe it was just you, me.
I think it was you and I, and I think Rob came in later.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at the menu and all of the descriptions, and you were like, wow, this looks great, except...
It needs some chicken.
Meat.
if this had chicken in it, it would be perfect.
I know, but
where this had beef strips, oh my God, I'd be all over this.
But he is a master.
But we didn't miss it. Remember, we both said we were satisfied.
He is an example. His name is Ross. I can't remember his last name, but he is a vegan master. He really is, because there's so much in vegan cooking. It's not just about, oh, no dairy, no meat. That's like, duh. Right. Yeah, no dairy, no meat.
Right.
How do you make that taste good?
And
how do you make
that be filling.
And filling.
You know, well, yeah, be satisfying.
But you know, because you could do pasta or whatever, but one of the, so when you are talking about the proteins that you need if you are vegan, mm-hmm. you need beans,
mm-hmm.
You need tofu,
yep,
potentially.
Yep.
What's the brick that I get? The
seitan.
Well, seitan, which I have, that's another topic that I want to really focus on. But the, what's the bricks that I get?
Not the tofu.
I'm brain dead because I didn't sleep last night because of the coup. You know, the bricks, they're like 6 inches long and they're cryovacked and they're.
And we've hard. Talked about them.
They're hard.
And, we've and talked about them.
Like them, and they're in the produce aisle.
Yes, we have talked about them. I can't remember what they're called.
Jesus Christ. You know, oh. Tempeh.
Tempeh, thank you. Good God.
Okay.
I'm just losing my mind. I just can't remember anything.
For protein, you need beans. You need tempeh and or tofu
right.
and or seitan. And seitan right. is basically made from gluten flour.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix it up with just, you know, there's a ton of recipes from
for the sake of description, it's almost like making a hamburger out of wheat.
Yeah.
Right?
So basically. It's like a dough.
It's like a pancake almost.
It's a dough.
A thick, you, yeah.
You know, and you shape it. And so I've done it a number of ways now, and mm-hmm. I'm starting to perfect my seitan.
Good. Great.
So I learned with my client. Now, the first one, I just made a standard recipe that had the gluten flour, a little chickpea flour, and then they put some different herbs and seasonings in it. Some recipes will call for, you know, dried, granulated garlic. I tend to go toward the recipes that have real, you know, sauteed onions and garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first batch I made was very dense, like you cut into it and it's a very dense, it doesn't feel like meat. It just, so they commented, you know, the flavor is really good, but it's very dense. So, and she actually coming from, she's just relocated from Brooklyn. She used to have a brand that she
right.
would go to.
Right.
Loved, but she cannot get it around here.
Okay.
So then I made another version.
Mm-hmm.
And it called for tofu. Mm-hmm. So you would take this sort of dough mixture.
Right.
And you would add this sort of chopped up tofu. And what uh-huh. happens, and then you boil it. And it's very strange because it puffs up huge.
Right.
Like these little pancakes or little cutlets that you try to put in
right.
the boiling water, which you season heavily with maybe soy sauce or
whatever.
And they puff up huge.
Because they're absorbing the water, right? Or the broth
right.
or the whatever.
Uh-huh. And then they contract and uh-huh. then they get really dense. So
okay.
her favorite version was the one with tofu. She said, this is what I've been missing.
Well now, so is it sort of replicate that it has like cheese through it in a way?
No.
No? Okay. Because you know how tofu has that consistency, especially if you're using the harder tofu, it you could grate it. So it's almost cheese, quote unquote, cheese-like.
Tofu is not cheese-like.
No, but if you're having it in a packet like that, you know, you're having it in a bulk of something else, I would think it would replicate the texture of having. I know it's not cheese-like.
It just makes it, to me, the version where I introduced a lot of tofu felt very mm-hmm. spongy to me.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
All
really
right.
love it.
Okay.
She loved it. So this is another thing where food is so subjective. You know,
right.
She loved it. I didn't love it. Her husband, he actually prefers tempeh.
Okay.
So I was making all this seitan, and she said, oh, by the way, I love it. I'm eating it up. I love it. But Andrew really prefers tempeh. So
right.
maybe take a break, you know, don't make it every week, you know, give
right.
him. So I decided to make seitan with tempeh meatballs.
Ah, that sounds good.
So I thought that the consistency, because you know, tempeh's consistency has that little bit of like hardness to
yep.
it.
Yep.
I thought if I infused it with the, you know,
the sponginess
and a little bit of tofu, you might get the feeling of a meatball.
Right.
You know, where you bite into it, it's squishy, but you got a little, so.
Yep.
I have to say, it's good. Pretty freaking good.
And so after you made the mixture, did you put it like in a sauce or something, or?
Well, I made the mixture. So with seitan, you boil it or steam it. I'm finding steaming it makes no sense. You just simmer it at low heat.
Right.
And then it puffs up. You have to kind of push them down at times. And you have to cook it for like an hour.
Oh, then really?
You have to let it sit overnight.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to do certain recipes, you have to sit it overnight. Although I noticed that they took some out and made it, ate it last night.
Right.
But I put the meatballs, which were the seitan, which is just the gluten flour.
Dough.
A little tofu that I put in the Cuisinart. I wanted it to be pureed. And some pulsed
tempeh.
Uh-huh. And I mix that with a very big ingredient for vegan cooking is nutritional yeast.
Right.
Which just kind of nutritional yeast can make things taste a little cheesier, a little richer, you know.
But it's also, isn't it sort of like a leavening agent also? Isn't it making consistency?
I don't even know. That's how ill-equipped I am with this cuisine, but so I did the meatballs and I portioned them and so I made today, I took that leftover, the seitan meatballs that I made with the tempeh, and I made a bolognese.
Oh my gosh, that sounds good.
And you would almost not know that it's not meat. Like,
really?
It's kind of good.
Huh.
Right. I mean, I'm always going to go for the meat.
Right.
Mind you, I'm always going
to
go
for the meat. No, but it's smart. You know, I think it's very mindful of us all to cut down on our meat intake. So if it's something that you feel is replicating it, and obviously it's healthy.
Great. Another thing that I'm learning about vegan cooking is that freaking cashew cream.
Right.
Is the answer. Like, you put that into, like, I made them a wild mushroom and spinach cream sauce for pasta.
Uh-huh.
And so I did like the wild mushrooms and the onions and garlic and spinach. And then I added some oat milk and some cashew cream. It thickens things up. It's like, it's actually pretty good. Now, of course, I would rather the cream,
right,
you know, for them.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's great.
I can't wait to have it.
The kids eat vegan too?
No, they have the kids. The kids don't eat meat, but they give the kids dairy.
Okay.
Just because they want them to get all the calcium that they need when they're growing. And, you know, so they have cheese and
yogurt.
But no meat.
Good. So that sounds delicious. So the bolognese, you just sort of made like a traditional bolognese?
Well, I did a quick bolognese and I just sauteed some onions and garlic and added the crushed tomatoes and some oat milk and the browned kind of crushed
chopped up
tempeh seitan kind of thing that I was doing.
That sounds good.
And some cashew cream and basil and, you know, olive oil. And, you know, I think they're going to be really happy tonight.
That's great. That's
so my fantasy is that I'm actually going to, because Laura, I'm telling you, I would never do this if I didn't have a vegan client.
Right.
But to perfect seitan, because it's such a, you know, if you don't do tofu, if you don't, like, you know, there's only so many options for protein if you're vegan.
Right.
Seitan can be a huge thing. I would love to perfect one and mass produce it. But yeah.
Get on it.
I need your help.
We'll put it on the list of things that we're producing and manufacturing. We have quite a long list going.
All right. So I have a question for you. I have a couple of recipes that I looked on Facebook. You know, sometimes I save stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this one is called We talked about it before. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Ribolita?
I'm writing some notes. Say it again.
Ribolita.
Ribolita. It's a soup, like a minestrone, and it's thickened with bread. It's delicious.
Okay, so tell me your recipe.
It's just, I mean, traditional. It's a vegetable soup that has greens in it. If somebody had a gun to my head and said, make me a pot of ribolita, I would saute onions, carrots, and celery. I would put some garlic in. I would put broth. If I was making a vegetarian, I put vegetable broth. If I wasn't, I would put chicken broth or beef stock. I would put, would let that cook a little bit. I would put some chickpeas in it. I would let that cook a little bit. And I would put a ton of chopped up kale or spinach or collard greens and let that cook. And then when I was about to serve it, I would take crusty bread and put that in it and let it get all soaked up. And I would serve it with Parmigiano Reggiano and I would call it a day.
Well, I'm just scrolling through this recipe and you pretty much nailed it with
It's a traditional soup that's what it's right. A vegetable
it's
soup
basic.
With lots of grains.
It's very basic. I mean, I've done this many times before, not realizing that it was ribolita, but also potatoes.
Generally, no, I don't think traditionally, no, because you have the, it's usually beans, greens, and bread. Are the three items that it should have. And it's usually just broth and vegetables after that.
Okay.
I mean, you could put whatever people can put whatever you want in something, but the traditional recipe, I don't believe has potatoes in it.
Okay. And I also have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of asafoetida?
Asafoetida. I'm writing it down. No.
The smelly spice India loves but never grew.
So it's a spice?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Asafoetida, a smelly, acrid spice beloved by Indians, has been used to lace their food for centuries, but it was never cultivated in the region until now.
Huh. And what type of it's an herb?
It's a spice.
It's a spice?
Huh. Yeah.
Nope, never
heard of it. It's got a unique smell. It's strong, a bitter odor. It's a spice I want to search out. I've never tried it.
Well, there's an Indian market in Trenton. We have all these field trips we need to take.
I know.
We can go back out in the world. I've never heard of it. It would be interesting to go exploring and find out about it.
So we talked a little bit ago during the break, we talked about some pasta dishes that I wanted to make this weekend.
Yes, but you don't want to talk about it now, right?
I know. But maybe could
so
you
next week.
But could you give me your take on the best Alfredo in a minute and 30.
My best Alfredo is pretty easy. It's just cooking while your pasta is cooking. I very quickly scramble some eggs and put cheese in it and put a little cream in it. And when the pasta is done, I pour that mixture over and I toss it together. That's it. I don't cook it. I literally mix eggs, Parmesan cheese with a splash of cream. Sometimes black pepper, sometimes crushed red pepper.
So you don't even reduce the cream or anything like that?
Nope. And the heat of the pasta that's just cooked basically cooks the sauce. Yeah, that's my go-to. Not that I make it very often. I used to make it for my dad a lot and he loved it. I haven't since the last time I made it for my dad.
I haven't made it in probably 20 years. Going to make it this weekend.
It's going to be delicious. I can't wait to hear all about it. All right, my friend. We've wrapped up another one.